Welcome back to Secondhand Therapy. We want to remind you that we are not therapists. We are not experts, gurus, anything.
Even though
like
I look
that.
Like a therapist and an expert and a guru. Don't I?
Sure. You know what I like best about this is you're wearing glasses when you don't need to, and it just shines the reflection of the light off of it. Oh.
You like that?
Yeah, I love that. Viewers, don't you love it?
You like this?
Oh, my God. Okay.
It's only when I look right at the camera is it a problem for them.
Cool. Welcome right. to the show. Don't take our advice. Also, sign up for our Patreon.
Please sign up for our Patreon because you know what? This podcast is taking a toll on me. Okay? Do you know how fucking hard it is to go to therapy and then come in here and talk again about it and share it with the world? It's very hard.
Oh, hey, man. I had a breakdown last week, didn't I?
Is that going on Patreon?
Yeah, that'll be on Patreon.
You're going to put it on Patreon?
You can watch me have my breakdown on Patreon.
He had... here's the episode. Thanks for being here. We love you. Sign up for Patreon. I'm going to kill myself. You had a meltdown last week.
Oh, it brought up so many feelings in me.
Yeah.
We did, okay, if you're not on our Patreon, we do like an after the pod kind of recap where we really question ourselves on if we should have shared what we just shared.
Yeah.
So it's an unpacking of the unpacking.
Yeah.
And during that, man, I went to a place I have not been in a while.
Have you... watched the footage back yet?
Yes, but it was like the day or two after.
Okay, did you watch my camera?
Yes.
I don't know how long mine was recording.
Yeah, I don't think you got any of the after I turned my cameras off.
I feel confident, and if you want to cut this out, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I feel pretty confident that mine was recording when you were punching the floor and when you started like heavily bawling. That might be in the background somewhere.
Yeah, that was... I was feeling all... I have not... I unpacked it in therapy this week. And I was telling her about that anger that I had. Let's start from the beginning. We were talking about a time of my life I haven't thought about in a long time in this way.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about this right now? Are you going to be good?
Yeah, I'm
don't
great.
Feel pressured.
No, because I unpacked it in therapy, like, okay. Yeah, I'm good.
All right, I just want to make sure you don't feel like you have to do this if you're not comfortable. That's all.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
I want to talk about it because I think it's interesting on a couple different fronts. But we got to talking about that period in my life where I was like, I felt like I was doing all the things that I thought you were supposed to do, right? When you're kind of searching. I was grieving. My mother had just passed. And so I just was looking to feel anything. I was just so numb at that time.
How long ago was this time that you're talking about?
It's been 8 years, right? Maybe, yeah. It's coming up on 8 years. 2016?
I think 15. I think she passed in 15.
We always get confused on that. It's blurry, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But soon after her death.
Oh, yeah.
First year. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. It was, I was just shut off. I describe it when we were talking about it on the pod here, about like, it's hard to get a signal from a receiver that's not turned on. My shit was unplugged and like in the corner. Like I couldn't receive anything. I was completely just off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I started thinking about that time and how numb I was. And then I was getting angry at past me, at me in that time. And I blamed him for so much. And that's where the rage came from. The anger was just like, and you and I talked about it. This guy like ruined my fucking career, because at the time I was working, you know, 46 weeks a year on the road, and I was getting in with the Funny Bones and doing all that. I was like one of the only headliners for the Funny Bones that was doing that kind of work consistently without like major television credits. Mm-hmm. Like I was not a big sitcom star or anything like that at that time and whatever. And so like, it was rare for a guy like me to be having those weeks. And so I had worked so hard to get to that position. And then I started canceling last minute on those things. Mm. And then they stopped booking me.
No.
And when I would do shows, it was just phoning it in. I definitely wasn't writing at the time.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't riffing or doing any of those fun stuff that I used to do on stage. It was just going through the motions and getting through the gig. And when I wasn't, you know, I've talked about this on here, but like, I was just high all the time. If I was not performing on stage, I was baked out of my fucking mind.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have to feel anything. So I wouldn't have to process it. Yeah, so that guy...
High on marijuana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Legal substances.
Yeah, yeah. It was just weed, but...
Still not healthy, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that guy ruined my career. That guy ruined a lot of my relationship. You know, I couldn't have been fun to be around with my partner at that time, and she handled almost all of the stuff that had to do with mom's death. I'm bad at that kind of stuff anyways, and when I'm grieving and numb, I couldn't be present for any of that.
Yeah, she did a lot.
She did all above and beyond.
Yeah.
And that puts a lot of stress on somebody. And again, I can't be fun to be around. My mom just died, and I can't even, you know, not be stoned enough to fucking make dinner. You know what I mean? Like, I was just numb. Put a lot of strain on my friendships. I just was unresponsive. I was canceling plans. I was just not present. So on all fronts, this guy just really fucked my life up. And I haven't thought about him. I've only ever thought about the situation and the grief that goes with that. And it was overwhelming. And I just got so mad at him. And, yeah, I didn't know what to do. I was just overwhelmed with those emotions. And I explained it to my therapist with like, I got worked up here, started crying, started to get angry. We turned off the cameras and I went and sat in the chair over there. And it was so overwhelming that I just wanted to feel anything that wasn't that. And so I punched the floor as hard as I fucking could. Mm-hmm. Not a great idea. Don't recommend it. but it was, I felt it.
Yeah.
And then I was just bawling and uncontrollable and got up and that wasn't enough. I punched my hand as hard as I could. Because again, I just wanted to feel anything that wasn't that in the moment. And then I just went to the door and just kind of collapsed. Yeah, that. And then you and I unpacked a lot of it. And you'd reminded me to give that guy grace because he had just lost his mother.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we also talked about, I mean, we know this, like anger is always just like the surface emotion. It's always rooted in usually fear. And I talked to my therapist about that, about like,
oh, for me, it's hurt.
Oh, really?
I'm usually hurt when I'm angry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when I think I'm angry, it's usually because I'm really hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think fear is a big one for anger. Cause you think of like, you know, when guys get in bar fights and shit, like they're scared.
Yeah.
And that's what
I remember in a bar fight. I don't know.
Yeah. And that's what I was. When I think of that time, it was fear.
Mm.
What do you do now without mom?
Mm-hmm.
That's so scary. That's still scary.
Yeah.
And that's what we talked about in therapy about. She's like, which I'm beginning to listen. I know this phrase is useful and I know that it helps. I'm getting so sick of it. And what would that mean?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy.
If that were true, what would that mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just hadn't been there in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. I journaled about it. You had suggested for me to journal about it, and I did.
I'm such a hypocrite.
I know you are. I was like, this motherfucker.
I've journaled three times, and I was like, yeah, maybe you should go journal about this,
bud. You know what you need to do? You should journal. Wait, you put on your glasses. You're like, you know what you should do?
Yeah.
You should journal about this.
I'm a therapist now. Go sit down with your journal. Be a good boy.
Do your journals.
Such a fucking idiot.
So I did, and the last line in my journal said, how do you forgive your worst enemy? And you had said, try to understand him. But I don't wanna.
Why don't you wanna?
I don't know. I'm just joking. I think I know that I owe him grace.
Yeah.
I
don't know that you owe him. He deserves it.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're indebted to him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was going through a lot.
Yeah, he was fighting for his fucking life, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get darker. I remember being on the road and I was being very vocal. This is a few years after that. I was living alone in a little studio apartment in East Hollywood and just alone for the first time.
I'd never been to that apartment.
Yeah.
That's the only place you've lived I've never been.
Yeah. I wasn't there long.
Yeah. I remember.
Oh, no.
One of the times I knew, I was like, oh, he's lost it. You were in that apartment.
Yeah.
And you have an armoire that you love.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't fit the wall you want because of there was a mantle above the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
So you cut off the side of the mantle.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you can't do that. You're renting this place. You can't remove walls.
Yeah.
You didn't give a fuck.
I didn't give a fuck about anything.
That's when I was like, oh, yeah, he's on a different planet now.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, just funny memory.
It's really funny. I remember taking that fucking saw and just being like,
yeah,
fits now.
Yeah, you're like, I just cut this off. I was like, oh, well, cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Did not give a fuck.
Yeah.
But I was I remember being very vocal with one of my friends that I felt comfortable enough to be honest with about. Mm. You know, I'm like, hey, man, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, man, you're fine. I'm like, okay. And I remember being in, this is the first time I went to therapy. I was playing some shit club in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Miserable. Absolutely miserable. A club that I had said that I would never play again. But if we go back to the previous statements, a lot of clubs stopped booking me because I was grieving and canceling on things.
Yeah, you were unreliable as
yeah,
professionally for a little bit.
Yeah. So I went back to these a few clubs that I said I would never play again.
Yeah.
And I'm there and I'm miserable and I'm baked out of my mind and I can't leave the bed. And I would get up and do the show and then come back and literally just eat ice cream and watch Frasier.
That's fucking great. Good for you, dude. Like,
and then just sleep, you know.
What did it feel like to be on stage at those times?
Oh, like a chore. Like,
not enjoyable at all.
No, like I was being forced to. I mean, I was. I needed money.
Yeah.
And I did not want to be there.
It wasn't even an escape.
No.
Yeah, that's rough.
No. Because I felt at the time like I'm the entertainment. I have to be funny. I have to be a good time. I'm getting paid to be a good time.
Yeah.
And I'm not a good time right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking, what a mind fuck that is. Just go up and be like, hey.
Yeah.
I'm dead inside. I remember telling my buddy, like, I was really thinking about suicide at that time, and I was just really down. But grandma was still alive,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't do that to her.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of like coasting.
You ever put off suicide because you're that much of a people pleaser?
Right.
Do we have a t-shirt for you?
You know, people keep telling me put my needs first.
Yeah. Nah.
In this case, I think they're wrong. So I signed up for therapy,
mm-hmm.
and it did not go well. I got passed around a bunch, but in that jumble of getting passed around, a woman asked me, she said, she goes, do you feel like, I think you're dealing with depression. And I was like, oh, no, I'm fine.
Dumb fuck.
I was in fucking denial.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And she's like, well, let's talk about what depression looks like. And I go, okay. And she's like, what do you think depression is? And I just got back from Oklahoma like a week after, or before that. And I go, I don't know. When I think of like somebody that's depressed, they probably just like lay in bed all day and like don't have the motivation to do anything or go anywhere and like, you know, that kind of thing. And like they just kind of, fuck, I'm depressed. She's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was the first time that I remember feeling that way and accepting it because before that, it just felt so trendy. To be everybody on my on my social media feed was depressed or sharing whatever, and I'm like, I don't know, I just felt dirty.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
so you're doing it to fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, nah, I don't have that.
Yeah, I'm not one of those fuck monkeys making TikToks with my tears. Yeah, that ain't me.
That's not me.
Hey, when's the last time you showered? Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Don't be asking me personal questions like that.
Talk nice to me.
Talk nice to me.
So that was such an odd time, and I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Yeah.
And it was really triggering. So she asked me, she said, what would that mean if...
Ugh. Sorry.
Yeah. What would that mean if your mom is dead? And I was like, everything.
Yeah.
I was like, it's such a big idea that I don't even... still to this day, 8, 9 years later, whatever, like I still can't... I don't even know. It's like that old phrase, you know, like, how do you eat an elephant piece by piece?
Yeah.
It's like that. Like, how do you, where do you even begin on such a big idea that your mother's dead? Mm-hmm. Somebody that was so close to me, my best friend, my biggest supporter, like all of these things, like, where the fuck do you even start?
Yeah.
And especially as somebody who has not ever been taught how to process even small things.
Yeah.
Or to be, you know, we've talked about this, like, she made sure I never felt uncomfortable and all those things. So add that to the fucking equation of like,
yeah,
hey, process your mom dying.
And also, like, if you take it further than processing of, you know, a lot of people think it's something you get over. Like, no.
No, man.
Yeah, it's not a thing. Like, getting over it is the an impossible task.
Yeah.
And I think in those moments, that's what you think you have to do. You're like, okay, how do I move past this?
Yeah.
And it's like, you never move past it. You move forward in life. Like, time's not going to stop for anybody.
Yeah.
You move forward, but you're never going to move past it.
No, no. Yeah. So we talked a lot about, which led us into forgiveness. And that's something I struggle with, is forgiving myself on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And here's where the people pleasing comes back around for forgiveness, is I'm not ever expecting forgiveness from others. I only put that weight on myself.
To forgive other people.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is a one-way street for you.
Yeah.
It's a service.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I think about...
It's a service I provide.
Yeah. It's like 1-800-FORGIVENESS. It's
like a non-profit forgiveness over here.
Yeah. Because when I think about people that have hurt me or done damage, I'm not looking for their forgiveness. I am trying to forgive myself and my behaviors on how I accepted or how I acted in those moments with them.
Mm. Yeah. You're always the bad guy.
Yeah, I got a real villain complex.
Yeah. You hate yourself. Yeah. Right? Yeah, and yeah. We know that. And yeah. We know that. Check your t-shirt, because we know that.
And we know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter, dead or alive or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm not looking for forgiveness from anybody. I don't know what that... Yeah, I don't know. And it came up a lot this week because I was just got back from Georgia, and that whole project that I was shooting down there is all about forgiveness. And mm-hmm. So I had just spent... like 4 days unpacking somebody else's emotional baggage about their father and their forgiveness and these things. And
yeah.
It kind of put all of it on the forefront for me to think about my father and forgiveness. And then it bled into this mental breakdown I had after the pod last week, and that kind of forgiveness for past me. And then I thought about past relationships or other times that I've been hurt. And yeah, that's the conclusion I came up with. It's the weight is always on me for forgiveness.
Mm.
Do you feel that, or do you want vindication? Maybe vindication is too harsh of a word, but I can't think of.
With regards to what? If
somebody's wronged you or hurt you, you're like, they owe me an apology, or they...
Oh, yeah, no, I'm able to see, like, I'll tell you if you owe me an apology.
Yeah.
I got no problem with that. Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But I think with your apology comes with me apologizing for my part in it. Because if you wronged me...
Yeah.
I know myself. I didn't handle it right. Mm. You know? I probably came back sharp, or I came back defensive. Yeah, but if I feel like you truly did something that you shouldn't have done to me, I'll tell you, be like, hey, man, you owe me an apology for that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've done that with you. Done that with my girlfriend.
Yeah, but we're close. I thought, I like, would you do that with just...
Oh, no. You got to matter for me to give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you handle it when people that aren't so close, you just write them off?
How close? How not close are we talking? Like a stranger?
Not like a stranger, but not... So, like, not me, not, like, somebody as close as me. But,
yeah.
And not, like, a complete stranger. So, let's say, like, an in-between. Like, one of our friends that lives here in town that we hang out with on occasion. We'll grab dinner with every once in a while. Stuff like that.
I think if the relationship is important enough to me that I would want to spend time with that person again. And I think it's something that I can't just brush off. If I feel like, damn, if I'm going to hang out with this guy again, if I'm going to look at him and be like, this motherfucker, or yeah, something like that, then I got to address it. Yeah. But if it's just, he just said something shitty, I might in the moment be like, hey, don't do that.
Yeah.
But if it's like something and I'm going to see him again and have a little bit of resentment,
yeah,
I'll address it.
What if it's a deep hurt? What about your daddy?
My dad?
Yeah. What about somebody like that in your life? Like,
man, why are we doing this?
I know, right?
I know, right? You fuck.
Yeah.
Do I forgive my dad? Is that what you're asking me?
I'm asking you if you would ask for an apology or stand up for yourself in those ways of being like, hey, you owe me this.
I would only put forth, I would only give that time and energy to somebody I thought was capable.
Yeah.
He's not capable of seeing a mistake or seeing, he doesn't think he's capable of wronging anybody.
Yeah.
So no, I wouldn't waste my energy or time with that. I think that's a situation I either need to accept that he is who he is, and that's all he's ever going to be, or I need to accept that he's not for me.
Yeah.
Because unless he does some serious work and does some changes, it's just, we're going to be at a standstill. And I think if I were to voice like, hey man, you know, these things you did, that's not cool.
Yeah.
You should really own up to that. And he's not going to be receptive to that. All it's going to do is make the void bigger. So it leaves me with that same choice. Either I accept who he is or I accept that.
Yeah.
There's no place for us to have a relationship.
Mm.
So I know I'm kind of not answering your question directly, but there's a lot of nuance there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I know you know that, but
yeah, I don't know what to compare it to with, similar to my situation, you know,
forgiving yourself.
Yeah. In these ways that were like, I'm not, even if my father was alive, I wouldn't be looking for an apology or forgiveness on his end.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. So it's like,
but why? Why not tell him how you feel?
I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it. I don't feel like anybody owes me anything.
Mm.
But I feel like I owe them everything.
Yeah. And we know why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't think you deserve it.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'm... I'm accountability holds a lot of weight with me.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be accountable, like if you're going to be in my life, you need to be able to be accountable. Because if you can't call me out and be like, hey man, you owe me an apology for this. Like the person I want to be in the world, the person I want to be, if you take it further than that, the type of friend I want to be, the type of partner I want to be, the type of son, brother, all those things.
Yeah.
I need to be able to be accountable if I fuck up. Yeah. And Yeah. You got to do it too.
A lot of shame with accountability.
For you?
Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of people, yeah.
Being like admitting fault?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why shame?
You have to humble yourself to be accountable.
But what are you ashamed of?
Your actions or your mistakes or your whatever. You're coming clean kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, yeah, that's what accountability is, right? Is like...
I don't feel like you're coming... It doesn't feel like a confession.
Really?
Yeah, because it's not a secret.
No, but you're like owning up to something. You're owning up to your actions.
Yeah.
So not like in a confession way, but just like in a... Yeah, I did that.
Mm. That's shameful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess depending. Because
you're not,
you,
it's nothing you're proud of. Yeah, you're not like, hey, I'm being accountable because I did the dishes today. You're like, great, man.
Yeah.
It's got to be like, hey, I haven't done the dishes in 2 weeks and I'm really slacking. Sorry.
And you're ashamed of that?
Yeah, I would be.
Do you think that over time, like sharpening that tool and practicing accountability, you could find pride in being accountable to override the shame?
Oh, man. I don't know, because when you're, I feel like when you are being accountable, you're fucking up. So the goal would be to not fuck up. The goal would be to be,
I think,
this better person, right?
When you're being accountable, you're admitting you fucked up.
Yeah.
Everybody fucks up.
So you're fucking up.
Yeah, at least own up to it. You want to pretend it didn't happen? That's better.
No, but the goal wouldn't be to like be better at owning up when you're fucking up. The goal would be to not fuck up, right?
Yeah, how do you quit fucking up unless you acknowledge that you fucked up?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think a big part of that is being honest with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
It's real easy to be like, oh, man, it wasn't that bad. Like, he'll get over it.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier than being like, fuck, I fucked up. I got to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, but... It's hard to be honest with yourself sometimes. It's really hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What'd you do in therapy this week?
Well, who cares, you know?
Nah, nah,
talk
nah.
about that.
Nah, nah, nah.
I didn't go.
Share with the class.
Here's the thing.
The neck crack.
Did you hear it?
This must be heavy.
Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but I got tension thinking about therapy this week. Why do we do this podcast?
I don't know. I got my ass beat in therapy this week.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how we got there.
Okay.
But the big thing I learned in therapy this week.
Yeah.
I have finally comprehended something that you've been trying to tell me.
Oh, really?
All right. So tune in next week.
Oh, no, no. Let the people's champ hear it.
Okay. The way I communicate can be difficult for people.
Shocking.
Shut the fuck up and listen.
Shocking.
Here's what I don't need is the fucking attitude.
Hey, and we know that.
And we know that. Now, so when I speak, I can take a bit of a pause before. And what I'm doing with that time is picking my words very carefully so that I am doing the best I can to say what I mean.
Mm.
Now, when I say what I mean, I assume the person listening to me hears what I'm saying and takes it at that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's, change your face.
I'm just,
okay,
just listening.
It's real smug.
Hey.
It's real smug over there.
Talk nice to me, okay?
It's, you're smug. You smug face.
I'm sorry.
You're
smug right. face. You know what? Accountability here? I am smug face.
Smug
right
face.
Now.
Right the smug face. Now, for example, I do not go out for New Year's. Okay. I think going out for New Year's is dumb as fuck. Okay. So if I say to you, nah, I would never go out for New Year's, I think that's dumb as fuck.
Right.
What I think you're hearing is Lou doesn't go out for New Year's because Lou thinks it's dumb as fuck.
Mm.
What I have been missing is that you could hear, if you go out for New Year's, you are dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
So I, and this could be autism. We're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I take time to be so exact with my words. I expect other people to take my words and not read between lines or have any inference at all.
Yeah.
And what I need to be doing, what I'm going to try to be better about doing, is when I take a pause to pick my words, instead of picking words, ask myself, how can this be received?
Mm.
And because I know you very well.
Yeah.
And at this point, if I could, if I can just take a moment and be like, how's he going to receive this? I should be able to tune it differently and not be like, here's how I understand it. Here's what I'm trying to say, and try to say it differently so that you can get the message better.
Yeah.
And that was frustrating.
Really?
Yeah.
In what ways?
Because why can't you listen different? Why do I gotta talk different?
That's what I thought you were gonna say.
Yeah. Why is it on me? It's just, I get it.
Yeah.
Because as we just talked about, I need to be accountable. I understand, but it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's really frustrating. Yeah. So I need to, and I'm going to be working on implementing, I think as you would put it, more empathy into just my regular communication and trying to be more aware of how things can be received rather than trying to communicate them properly and just soften a little bit and be more aware of who I'm speaking to and how they receive things.
How does that work when you're dealing with strangers? When you have no data points.
Well, I can't give a fuck about that, can I?
I mean I was just curious if you were
This is for people like this is for people in my life I give a fuck about.
What about tone adjustments or anything like that for strangers?
No.
Interesting.
No.
You're just like, nah.
I don't exist to please everybody.
Right.
Yeah. I don't, honestly, man, I exist in the world. Like I said, I treat people with respect. I don't hurt people intentionally. I don't think I'm generally nice. I think I'm a very kind human.
Yeah.
That's enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be the perfect stranger to everybody. I don't give a fuck about that. As long as I'm treating people the right way, they got a problem. If they have a problem, they want to say something to me, I'll hear you. If I feel like I owe you an apology, I'll apologize. If not, I'll go, hey, man, what's your name? That's what I thought. Have a good day. Right? Because we don't fucking know each other.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Dude, if I talk to everybody I had a problem with in the world, I would get nothing done. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every dumb fuck that, like, hey, man, you got a shopping cart, you push it from behind. You don't pull it from the front. And we fucking know that.
That drives you crazy.
A shopping cart's this wide. You stand behind it. So we got two-way traffic in the aisles. Mm-hmm. You don't stand next to it, and now you're blocking traffic, aren't you?
I like doing that when we're out together.
I'm going to ram that cart in your heels every time. You push a cart, you don't pull it next to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If I had everybody that did, I'd go, hey, just so you know, you're fucking up everybody's day in this aisle.
Yeah.
Everybody's waiting for you to get out of the way. I can't do that.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, when you do it, I go, hey, you fucking kidding me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Buddy, quick question. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. No, you can't. I can't put that energy into strangers. It's just not.
Yeah.
That's not a good use of my energy.
Hmm. Empathy has been something you have been working on for a while.
Yeah, because I, like every fucking thing else, I'm always focused on doing it right.
Mm.
And yeah, I got this thing. I got to make sure I do shit right. And I don't know what happened in my childhood that I can't make a fucking mistake.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
Yeah, mom.
Mom, yeah.
Thanks,
Mom's
mom.
Mom's got a job.
Yeah. Yeah, single mom raising two kids has three jobs. Keep it the fuck together.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have time for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love you, Mom. I know you did your best. You fucked me up.
Multiple truths.
You did your best. I love you. Yeah. And you fucked me up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm trying to not focus on doing everything the right way, especially with empathy, because like we've talked about, I feel like if I haven't been in the exact situation you have, yeah, I'm a fucking fraud for trying to empathize with you when it's not about the situation. It's about the emotion you're feeling, because I have felt that emotion, and how you got to that emotion isn't important.
Yeah.
It's just the emotion. So yeah, daddy, old Papa Bear's a work in progress. Yeah. We've got caution tape all around this motherfucker, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's constant work. And that's, I put up on my story after my therapy session. Like,
yeah, don't do that. Go ahead.
I know. It kicked my ass so hard. And it was one of those days where I didn't feel like I had anything to share.
Yeah.
Everything has been great. I had a great week. It was, you know, whatever. And even like the first half of our session, it was just kind of like catching up and bullshitting, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. And if you say flirting?
Yeah, don't say yeah.
I thought you said floating.
No, I said flirting. You go, yeah.
Yeah, flirting. No, I thought you said floating. And I was like, yeah, just floating by.
Yeah.
So we're just kind of catching up bullshitting. And then it got real.
Mm.
And so I wanted to put up something that was just like encouraging people to do it even when you feel like you don't need to do it. Those are the days that, man.
Yeah, and it took three stories to get that message across.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Let me do the little. Do the work.
You're such a fucking piece of shit. I've never once said do the work.
What happened?
Unfurrow your brow.
What?
Unfurrow.
I can't make you feel unfurrow. Like I need to unfurrow my brow right now.
You're not making me feel anything. I'm telling you, unfurrow your fucking brow, you piece of trash.
Sorry, this is the new Lou.
Yeah, I got fucking glasses. Dude, my girl got me these for my birthday.
Yeah.
Unprescriptioned anti-glare coating. Dude. What a great gift. She goes, I know you're trying to get your glasses life on. I go, fuck yeah.
She's so good for you.
She's great, man.
So we got to unpack a little bit about some dream stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, so we got to talk about mom, of course, and then it bled into forgiveness and all these things we were talking about, and then she brought up the dreams that I've had about mom. Mm. I don't have them often because the pain was similar. That pain that was so overwhelming that I couldn't physically control it the other night. That's how I feel when I wake up in those states of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to explain to her what happens is in my dream, when mom is there, when I do dream of mom, the interactions and the feeling are so real and so vivid that I literally think that there is like, been a mistake and that mom is alive. And I get so excited and so happy and full of joy and like all these things that I want to wake up and hang out with mom or talk to mom.
Yeah.
And then somewhere in between the waking myself up and waking up, in that buffer period, there's a little reality guy that comes in and kind of checks me and is like, hey, you can wake up right now. That's fine. But just so you know, mom is dead. And then it hits me like the first time I'm hearing it in the dream. And dream me, it's so overwhelming, I start to cry, and I will physically wake up out of the dream crying. And I'm not talking like just like a couple tears. I've talked about this a couple times, but like not just like, oh, I'm sad when I woke up. I mean, I am bawling when I'm waking up.
When's the last time that happened?
Is that my old place? So 6 months ago, probably?
Yeah, it was recent.
Bawling so hard. And then I have to, then, you know, reality me then sets in and goes, hey man, you're okay. You're okay. It was just a dream. And then as I start to feel a little bit better, like, oh yeah, it was just a dream. Like, mom's okay. And then I have to then retell myself, yeah, but like, you're fine. You're okay. But mom is dead. And then it's like another hit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a two-punch combo coming out of these fucking dreams.
Yeah.
So my therapist was telling me that in those dream states, instead of reassuring myself, you know, being like, hey, you can wake up, but mom is dead, trying to tell myself in those dreams, like, hey, just be with mom right now. She's here. Enjoy this time with her. And not mentioning anything else. And just being like, hey, just enjoy your time right now.
So in the dream.
Yeah.
Be more conscious of, hey, just enjoy this.
Yeah.
Ah, cool. How the fuck do you do that?
How do you do that?
How the fuck do you do that?
What do you do there? That's so hard.
Yeah.
Hey,
man. Can't do it while I'm awake, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Have you had that in dreams? This, I think they call it visits.
Not in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's always traveling.
Really?
When I see her in dreams, always traveling. Always has a suitcase with her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so fucking interesting.
It's weird. But I haven't had one of those dreams in over a year. Maybe two.
Whenever I dream of my father, it's always at this house in that we lived at when I was young on Clinton Street. It was in downtown. And I don't remember much about that house. I have very few memories of it, but that's where Dad was most of the time. That's where we, that's, I guess it's because that's the longest I had him in my life.
Mm-hmm.
The memories I have there are just like, there was like this closet that had like this extra, it wasn't like a walk-in closet, but it was like a bigger space. And it had like these step up, like platforms in it.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy, when you're like 6 or 7 years old, that was incredible space to play.
Yeah.
You know, I remember that. And we had this shag carpet and this big console TV in the living room. And sometimes I would get to stay up late and watch like Johnny Carson or Saturday Night Live or whatever.
Yeah.
While my parents were up. But whenever whenever my father visits me, I'm always in that house. And I could see the carpet and the layout and everything. And he would just come and go as if has a life there. You know what I mean? And we're just kind of catching up and I'm just stopping by the house. And he's got his own shit going on. And we visit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's always always has her hard shell purple suitcase that she had. I always give her a really big hug. I tell her how much I miss her.
There's interaction.
Yeah. I always give her a really big hug, tell her how much I miss her. She usually says, I miss you too. And then she's like, all right, I gotta go. And I beg her to stay. And she can't.